So I don't know if you've been observing this, but I've been observing there's a hunger and a stirring going on in our nation. And I would say there is a hunger and a stirring in this church that I've noticed. So I'm guessing you've also noticed that as well. You know, I've been observing this, and if I can just say, when I'm not at my best, I can get on the cynical side, like, are these just hype fests? You know, what's the lasting fruit of this? And, you know, just one, I want something that's real. And I've had a couple attitude checks along the way on this. So I've been paying attention to what God's stirring, and I just sense God stirring a renewed hunger in people's lives for something real. And so of course we had this event last Sunday night, and that was an amazing, just a move of God's Spirit. Monday morning, I'm at a pastor's gathering locally, about 200 pastors of churches in Lancaster County. And we're just having breakfast and then having a gathering. And again, I just sense like, God, what you're doing something. I'm not sure what it is. And so after I leave that pastor's gathering, I'm just letting you know what my week was like. After I left that pastor's gathering, I stopped by a park. Like, I just need some time, just a little bit of time to process this. And I was looking for like a walking path because I like to walk. And there wasn't really a walking path. There's just a gazebo at this park. I'm like, all right, I just sit here in this gazebo. I had a notebook and a pen, and I said just simply, God, what are you speaking to us, worship center? And just like that, I feel like God gave me two words: create space. Amen. Create space. And I say this with fear and trembling, because it's, you know, when a preacher gets up and he has a microphone, he said God told him something, I've seen that get abused. I'm so far from that. I hold that, and it's okay. Create space. What does that mean? Bring that back to our team. Let's discern what it is. And sometimes I believe it was a word of knowledge for us. And a word of knowledge activates faith and a new level of faith. So what I think interpretation sometimes can take some time, but what I believe, at least for today, is the interpretation is creating space means create space. When we gather, we want to create space for God to know his, for people to know God through worship, and for God to speak to his people through his word, his written word. And so today we're gonna spend a little bit more time in worship. We're gonna take communion together. I'm gonna read a couple scriptures, and we're gonna continue to worship and pray. All right? So to prepare us for communion, you can go ahead and be seated, but I wanna read from Matthew 25, because we've been on this journey the last few weeks of hearing what Jesus answered to the question, what are the signs of the end? What will signal the return of Jesus? The disciples asked Jesus that question, and we have documented in Matthew 24 Jesus' response. He says there's going to be a lot of conflict, chaos, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. So don't be unprepared for it. Keep one eye on the future. And in the meantime, use what you have to help other people. That's what we talked about last week. And now today, I want to wrap this whole idea up with Jesus' words from Matthew 25, because he gives a picture of this moment, and in my Bible, the heading says, ultimate judgment. Does that sound encouraging today? Ultimate judgment, or the final judgment, Matthew 25, verse 31, Jesus paints this picture that looks like the end, but it's actually the beginning, and I want to let God's word speak to us. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, again, this is not a parable. These are Jesus' words describing a moment. The king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. I want you to remember that word, inherit. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it unto me. Then the king will say to those on the left and say, he will turn to those on the left and say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. I want you to think about that word prepared. For I was hungry and you did not feed me. I was thirsty and you did not give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you? And he will answer, I tell you the truth. When you refused to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. And then Jesus said, they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. Have you ever heard the question, how can a loving God send people to hell? Have you ever heard that question? I have. Have you ever had that question or thought about that question? I have, many times. And what Jesus answers, he actually answers that question, because to the best of my understanding of this scripture and really all throughout scripture, it's clear that hell was never prepared for people. This place of eternal punishment was prepared for the demons and the devil. And see, this is why we need the written word of God, because if we're just going by my opinion and I hear, how can God send people to hell? I would come up with all kinds of crazy ideas for why and try to explain it. That's why we need the written word of God. It keeps us from drifting. It keeps us tied to truth. And so why would God send people to hell? He doesn't send people to hell. He just doesn't force them to go to heaven to spend eternity with him. It's kind of like we have three adult children and I want a relationship. We're in the stage of life where I want a relationship with each of them and I want to connect with them and build that relationship with them. But you know, if they just treated me, you know, just wanted what they could get from me and then said, forget you. I mean, it would break my heart. But I would not force them to spend time with me. Because forced love isn't real love. So when Jesus said that the people who reject Jesus, placing their faith in him, he's not gonna force them to spend eternity in heaven. But those who are righteous, Jesus said, inherit the kingdom of God. You know what inheritance is? It's received because of birth, new birth, being spiritually reborn. When Jesus transforms a person's life, they are a new creation. And this kingdom then is reserved and prepared for those who place their faith in him. It's invitation. And that love, that gift is built on the love that Jesus showed. So why was that list of things? You know, they said, you know, when did we care for the sick? And when did we show hospitality to the stranger, visit those in prison? Is that a to-do list? Because so easily my mind goes, I guess that's the to-do list. I need to make sure if I'm a good Christian, they visit people in prison and they care for those who are sick and they give clothes out to people who need them. And it is not a to-do list. It's the outcome. It's the fruit of when we've experienced this love of Jesus that he showed to us. Think about when you care for someone who is sick. And man, I fall short of this, but when you care for someone who is sick, they cannot give you anything in return. You're just showing love for them. When you're visiting someone in prison, they can't do anything for you in return. So we're loving them like Christ loved us. He loved us so much that even he was so rich in mercy. Even when we were sinners, he died for us. No guarantee that anyone would believe in him. So as we take communion today, I want to invite you just to reflect on, receive, and as we eat this bread, drink this cup, to receive a deeper level of how much God loved you. So I want to invite the ushers to pass the bread and the cup down each row. And would you take a piece of bread, take a cup of juice, hold on to it, we'll take it all together. But I want us to receive a deeper understanding of this love that God showed to us, demonstrated to us, this act that Jesus did on the cross when he opened his arms wide, his hands were nailed to a cross, his feet were nailed to a cross, but he gave himself up willingly because he could have at any time called angels to come and rescue him. But he did it as an act of love. So I want to invite you to write down all the ways that you know God's love. You know it's real for you. And if you're not sure where to start, we're gonna start with communion. God loved you so much. He's so rich in mercy. There was nothing we could do to deserve this love, nothing we could do to earn it. But when we have lived in this love, it will compel us to share this love with other people, those who cannot give us anything in return, because we're just so compelled by this. Man, I pray that we are filled with this love today. Let's take a moment just to reflect.